Hello, I'm Laurent Bouzereau, soundtrack producer of the reissue CDs of Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Through the years, I've had the great pleasure and honor of interviewing director Steven Spielberg, executive producer and story creator George Lucas, and composer John Williams about the music of the Indiana Jones films. Here are excerpts of my discussions with the three collaborators about the scores of the Indiana Jones film series. We begin with George Lucas reminiscing about John Williams and the scoring of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I got to know and work with Johnny Williams on Star Wars because of Steven, who had recommended him. And, it was great. That's the most fun part of making a movie for me, because you don't have to do anything. You just sit back and listen, and it's all... And with Johnny, it's just fantastic. And it was like... It was, going to the scoring session for me was like watching the movie get made, because here's the greatest composer and everything he does is brilliant, and I'm working with the greatest director and everything he does is brilliant, and a great writer, everything he does is brilliant. I didn't have to do anything. I just sort of watched everybody and said, oh, that's fantastic, because it really was.
Composer John Williams.
I've been very fortunate to work with both George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, because in the case of both of those gentlemen, they are interested in music and, as I've said earlier, very comfortable with it and use it in a very theatrical way that gives the music an opportunity to project itself and gives me an opportunity to write, to support the architecture of their pieces in a thematic way that to the extent that wouldn't be possible in all kinds of films.
Director Steven Spielberg discusses the creation of the main theme for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
John, saw the movie and loved it and went off to write the music. And he called me one day and previewed all the themes on the piano. And, he'd actually written two Raiders themes. He had written, play that for me, which I freaked out over. I loved it so much. Then he said, and here's another possible Raiders main theme, and he played. And so he had two choices, and I think my only input was to say, can't you use both? And he did. He made the latter the bridge, and he made the former the main theme.
John Williams.
That's a perfect example of the kind of collaboration that we have done with these things. Interesting about that, a very simple little sequence of notes, but I spend more time on those little bits of musical grammar to get them just right so that they seem inevitable, seem like they've always been there, they're so simple, and you think it's almost like Eureka. Of course, there it is. It has to be that. And I don't know how many permutations I will go through with a six-note motif like that, one note down, one note up, and spend a lot of time on these little simplicities, which are often the hardest things to capture, I think, for anybody. It's not difficult to obfuscate, to complicate, to add layers of things, but to peel layers off and to get to an essential phrase that speaks directly and succinctly and clearly, they're hard to find. And I always have fun with Steven going over these things because he loves to come to the piano and I'll play and we experiment around.
John Williams discusses the character of Marion and her musical theme.
I just love the character of Marion. I thought she was wonderful, and I loved her spunk and spirit. And Karen Allen was the actress that did that, and she did, I thought, such a beautiful job. And, of course, when I wrote the music for Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think I understood that was to be the first in the series. And I didn't know where this love story was going to go, if anywhere, But in spite of their spiky relationship, I thought that there was a real spark between the two of them and a real sort of potential love story was there. We had it anyway, but I thought the music, if the music were lyrical and emotional and warm and the orchestra could sing this love theme, even if we didn't have love scenes, that it might be permissible to interject that kind of musical emotion in their relationship.
The stories of Indiana Jones take him to different locations. And therefore, so does the music.
Also part of the fun of this thing has been to to describe the locations of where the films were taking place, and I always loved the maps that Stephen had, where the plane flew from Bangkok over here to this place, next place. And we would do, as you would have done in the 1930s at Warner Brothers, the music flies over Cairo and becomes Egyptian and then flies over someplace else and changes into the national character of wherever we are, in the way that you would have done a travelogue or a kind of documentary on these various areas. Again, it's the kind of fun that you wouldn't do that seriously in a film, really, anymore. But I think it was part of Stephen's idea to adopt this comic book with a capital C and B, joyous way of tapping into the nostalgia of the way these things used to be done cinematically.
John Williams talks about his musical approach for the climactic ending of Raiders, as well as the cues for the snakes, insects, and rats from the first three films.
The role of the orchestra, for example, in the end of the Raiders of the Lost Ark film is a complicated one, because we may have these rays of light coming up and then a beautiful face suddenly turning into a skeleton, where the music has to perhaps lure us into something that's sonically that's going to say this is going to be a beautiful experience, and then torture it and turn it around with the sound effects into something that could be quite terrifying. It's something that we would do in opera. It's part of the grammar and part of the technique of a composer and an orchestrator's tools to manipulate sound in that way, to lure us into one place and then deliver something else in the process. The end of Raiders of the Lost Ark is a very good example of that kind of sonic transformation. And these films do present a wide range of musical challenges, the hero and adventure themes. But also, when you get into all the creatures that you've mentioned, the bats and the rats and the snakes and all the rest of it, we go to great lengths to frighten the audience and use sometimes advanced orchestral techniques, atonal music, which would be more akin to contemporary concert music, Bartok and others, who might create sounds that could be by themselves terrifying. The soundtrack would admit the possibility for this.
After Raiders of the Lost Ark came Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. John Williams explains embracing the concept of revisiting his musical creation.
In the case of the three Indiana Jones films, the experience for me was very much like the experience of doing the Star Wars series, in the sense that one seemed to be the natural continuation of the other, and it took me a matter, it was kind of sort of like riding a bicycle. I didn't have to relearn how to do it. I began to work, and within an hour or two, I was back into the rhythm and into the spirit of the piece somehow. And having done the first Indiana Jones Raiders, it was not difficult. It was a sort of a natural extension, really, of the first film. Also, we have the hero's theme, which is common to all three films, so the starting point is always enhanced by having a given musical subject from an earlier film.
Director Steven Spielberg.
We certainly shot a movie that was exactly what George wanted. You know, it was Indiana Jones, you know, sort of goes to hell and then returns to fight and love another day. And Johnny saw it, and I think he reacted appropriately. His music is beautiful for the stuff with Willie and Harrison. I love his Trek music. I thought that was some of the most beautiful Trek music I'd ever heard. And then he got really, you know, dark and strange with all the chorus, with all the stuff happening inside the actual Temple of Doom itself. You know, John did an amazing score and really brought the movie up in my eyes.
John Williams explains the importance of tempo and musical rhythm.
One of the tricks, or one of the aspects of skill in scoring a film like this, is to try to find the right speed for these things. And there's so much quick cutting in all of them, and quick action, and overlapping dialogue, and pre-lapping sound and music, that we're on this kind of roller coaster. And for me, always, the tempo is the first consideration, to get the speed of the music right. Even if the speed is very slow, longsome, very drawn out, you need to be still on the right pace with what we see and hear and feel. So those things are, I have said at the outset, terrific fun to do.
Steven Spielberg offers an appreciation of the score John Williams wrote for Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
When it came time for John to write the music for it, John said, you know, this is a father-son story, so I'm going to write music that might be more appropriate for a less action-oriented picture about a father and a son. So he did very intimate, subtle themes for the indie father relationship. And then when the time came to really cook the orchestra and bring it all to a frenzy, he could do that too. But the best music for me is the music that kind of joins father to son.
John Williams.
I was talking the other day about the beginning of Last Crusade, where we have Indiana Jones as a teenager, and he's interested in archaeology, and he sees in the cave these thieves with the sacred cross of Coronado, and he rescues that thing. And he runs out of the cave and jumps, and then there ensues this wacky chase. The film hasn't even started yet. It's almost like a little prelude, if you like. And I think about this thing, and I think that sequence is like 55 musical sync points for the snake, for the cobra, for the tiger, for the men jumping on top of the train. And what strikes me about that sequence also is that we're moving all the time. We're moving on the horse, moving in the car, moving on the train. All this action is taking place as we're traveling. Full of detail, full of synchronization points for the music. That's the whole spirit of these films. We're going 90 miles an hour the whole time from the beginning to end. And that struck me always with these things.
John Williams comments on his overall experience creating scores for the first three Indiana Jones films.
These have been very rich assignments musically, and I have enjoyed them immensely. And I have to say it's the result of Stephen and George's personal predilections and feelings about music that's made it so gratifying and so rewarding for me. They're similar in that sense in their use of music. I don't know how long those Indiana Jones films are. I think they're over 2 hours, most of them, and the score is probably very close to being 2 hours. The orchestra's playing pretty much all the time, which is wonderful for the music. We have an opportunity where a film will hold that much music.
In 2007, filming began on the fourth indie adventure, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Director Steven Spielberg.
Every morning, you know, you come on the set and there's an electrician whistling the Indiana Jones theme, or there's somebody humming it, or we couldn't go anywhere where somebody didn't start singing that song. I mean, it's just, John, talk about iconography. John's a genius. And Indiana Jones cannot exist without that theme. And of course, that theme would mean nothing without Indiana Jones.
John Williams explains his musical inspiration for the character of Mutt, played by Shia LaBeouf.
Mutt's music, in my mind at least, is principally a piece that I've actually called it on the soundtrack album, The Adventures of Mutt, because he's great at sword fighting. He's been to some private schools wherever, and he's learned fencing. And he also swings on vines like a great Robin Hood, you know. So the combination of his sword fighting and his swinging on these vines and the heroics that he does made me have some fun with the music. In calling it even Adventures of Mutt, it refers in a little bit of a way to the adventures of Robin Hood. The music is not similar, but only in the sense that it is a swashbuckling theme for a young hero who's inexplicably able to do fantastic things through the magic of choreography and other gravity-defying devices. So that is his music. It's a young hero's music in the tradition of the swashbuckler.
Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull marked the return of Marion, but also the introduction of a great villain, Spalko. John Williams discusses revisiting the theme of Marion as well as his musical creation for Spalko.
I think the reappearance of Marion in the film is a stroke of wonder. And some of the warmest scenes, I think, in the film have to do with Karen's portrayal of Marion. As you can tell, I was a fan of hers from day one and enjoyed doing the Marion theme from the first film, and then relished the opportunity to bring it back 25 years later to sort of paint it around and accompany her scenes and their scenes together. And Spalko presented to me an opportunity to create a sexy film noir, if you like, theme to accompany a femme fatale from maybe the movies of the 1940s, where you would hear a slithering saxophone and certain harmonic progressions that would depict this dark side of sensuality and power and its uses and so on. She's very sensual. She's very powerful. And she's depicted musically with this theme that is, if you'd like to say, homage to the great film villainesses of the 1940s. And it's a kind of music that accompanies her as she appears in the film in a very sensual way, and in the style of that film noir, as I mentioned. But it's a kind of theme that as the film develops, the theme develops. So when she becomes really evil and really involved in action sequences, her theme is always transformed into something that accompanies her, whether it's loud or soft, or obvious or subtle, or it could be high and low. The theme will emerge in a different way. But whenever she's on the screen, in one way or another, you will hear the Irina Spalko theme.
John Williams describes his musical motif for The Crystal Skull.
Well, the Crystal Skull is a fantastic conception. And certainly it, for its various appearances on the film, needed to have some musical identification. And what I tried to do, and partly in the result of conversations with Stephen, was to try to get some kind of an homage, if you like, to the science fiction films of the 50s, that's the period in which our film takes place, as you know, that would be a kind of science fiction motif or theme or musical identification that would, again, appear, and we would hear it when we see the skull. Again, it could be sung, sometimes it is, it could be done electronically, it could be done orchestrally. So that's what I tried to do, to bring an aspect of nostalgia of the earlier science fiction genre into this piece.
John Williams pays tribute to his close collaboration with director Steven Spielberg.
I think many people who will follow film music and follow Steven's career will appreciate his affection for music and the process of making music. He always says he wants to be a composer, you know. And it's probably a good thing he wasn't, because I wouldn't have a job. He would probably be so good. Working with Steven is a particular privilege. I think I should say also that to coming to Crystal Skull, we come back to the series with the original team, meaning Steven Spielberg and George Lucas and Harrison and Karen Allen and Mike Kahn, the editor, and myself and others. Coming back after 28 years, however many years it's been, when you think about it, is a remarkable thing. And I don't take that for granted.